You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
CR.
Yes.
Awesome. 3CR would like to acknowledge the Kulin Nation, true owners, caretakers, and custodians of the land from which we broadcast. 3CR pays respect to elders, past and present, of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their unceded sovereignty.
This is 3CR Breakfast. Oh, yeah. Alternative news, analysis, and current affairs. Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 8:30 a.m.
Only double.
Grab your hands.
Good morning, listeners, and you're listening to 3CR Community Radio. The show that you just heard before us was a repeat of Think Again from the Borderlands Collective. You are now, it's after 7 o'clock in Monday morning, which now means you're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show here in the studio with Rob and Edmi.
Good morning, everyone. How are we going? Bright and early.
You're wearing a very colourful little, what is that, a beanie? No, it's not a beanie.
Yeah, it's some sort of hat.
It's some sort of hat. It's cool.
I found it at the op shop and I like my kooky hat, so it keeps my head
Shout
warm.
Shout out kooky hats.
Yeah, it keeps my ears warm. I'm
happy. Yeah, keeping your ears warm is so important. It's freezing.
It is freezing.
It's really cold. I was, not going to lie, I was tempted to wear just trackies.
True, yeah. The Ugg boots is a very, very real temptation this early on the Monday. But if it wasn't for you beautiful listeners, we wouldn't be here without you.
We're kept warm by the support.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Vicarious warmth.
No, we're feeling good in the studio this morning. I hope everyone else is doing well out there on this very cold, numb morning.
Quick shout out to Hannah, our other co-host who's currently in Peru. Hope you're good, Hannah. Woo. Yeah.
Shout out Hannah, living it up in Peru. She's probably not listening, but she's having a good time in Peru.
Never begrudge her of that.
Anyways, we'll just give a quick rundown of what's to come today before we get into our headlines this morning. So first up, we're going to play a snippet of a speech from Uncle Professor Gary Foley, which he gave at Dadi Munro on the 28th of April, being that today is the second day of Night Owl Week. Yeah, we wanted to play this little excerpt because it talks about the Black Power movement here on the continent and, especially how it sort of got off the ground back in the 70s in Redfern. And then following that, you want to tell them about your interview after that at 7:30, Ed?
Yeah, following up, we'll have an interview from Jonathan Binge, a.k.a. Caution, who's a First Nations rapper. Pretty staunch advocate for his people as well. So it'll be good to have him on the show talking about everything that he is about. After that, we'll be airing a speech from yesterday's Free Palestine rally from Asil Tayar. Who, just to touch on quickly, during her speech yesterday, did this call and response with the crowd as per usual, while the crowd, the followers, the movement, the people, and it was so beautiful. It was really moving. I was sitting there kind of, struck at the notes and the chords that she was able to touch, and yeah, it was so beautiful.
It was like a real nice, like, collective energy, you know what I mean? And I think it was another really good example of why it's good to show up to rallies, not just for Palestine, but, you know, in general, right? It's like people were together harmonizing this message, you know, all together feeling it. And I think everyone was feeling kind of emotional.
Definitely. I think also I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the rest of the people in the crowd. But I'm not used to singing, so yeah, it definitely felt awkward and it was challenging. And
singing
was
in Arabic as well.
It was uncomfortable, but that it's having the bravery and the courage, especially her bravery, to stand up there as a Palestinian woman and like lead us in that was beautiful.
And it was commanding. So yeah, in a really nice way. Absolutely. Yeah, so we're gonna be hearing Asil's speech and the call and response, singing, harmonizing. At 7:45, and then at 8 o'clock we'll be bringing the second iteration of our regular segment from the Commons Social Change Library called Tiny Sparks and Turning Points. Mm. Which is a bulletin looking at radical events over the years that changed the continent. So, yeah, it'd be looking at radical events that happened in the month of July. And then last up, we'll be speaking with James Henderson, who's from Wattle. And Wattle and another organization called Urban Gorillas are a part of a fundraiser to raise money for themselves as well as power and pay the rent. Wattle and Urban Gorillas are both environmental organizations committed to like biodiversity and particularly planting a lot of indigenous native plants to restore biodiversity and restore our ecosystems, which have been destroyed by 250 years of invasion.
Mm-hmm.
That's happening right towards the end of the show. But for now, we will get into our headlines.
Some folks know about it, some don't. Some will learn to shout it, some won't. But sooner or later, baby, here's a ditty. Say you're gonna have to get right down to the real nitty gritty. Let's get right down to the real nitty gritty. Now one, two, nitty gritty. Now yeah, boom, nitty gritty.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR Community Radio, and these are the news headlines for Monday, the 7th of July, 2025. The United Nations Special Reporter on the Situation of Human Rights in the Palestinian Territories occupied since 1967 has released a report exposing a list of corporations complicit in Israel's genocidal war on Palestine. Presenting the report to the Human Rights Council in Geneva on Thursday, Francesca Albanese named more than 60 companies that have, quote, profited from the violence, the killing, the maiming, the destruction in Gaza and other parts of Palestine, end quote. The report details how each company is specifically involved in supporting, supplying, or enabling the Zionist settler colony known as Israel to displace and commit genocide against Palestinians. One such example is Caterpillar, which the report states, quote, for decades has provided Israel with equipment used to demolish Palestinian homes and infrastructure through both the United States Foreign Military Financing Program and an exclusive license requisitioned by Israeli law into the military, end quote. In 2025, the company secured a multi-million dollar contract to continue its work with Israel. Alongside Caterpillar, the report also calls out big tech companies Microsoft, Alphabet, and Amazon for Israel to use their cloud and artificial intelligence technologies. Knowledge of how these corporations are complicit in Israel's actions towards Palestinians, of course, is not news to listeners of 3CR Community Radio. However, the report formalizes that it is more than just states that are complicit on an international scale. Speaking of tech companies complicit in genocide, last month, the CEO of Spotify, Daniel Ek, was part of an investment round raising some 600 million euro, which is over 1 billion Australian dollars, into Housing, a military tech startup developing AI technology for war. The company builds AI-driven drones, submarines, and aircraft, and following this latest round of investment, is now worth some 12 billion US dollars.
Also in news this week, Sunday the 6th of July until the 13th of July marks NAIDOC Week for 2025. For those that don't know, NAIDOC stands for National Aboriginal and Islanders Day Observance Committee. This year's theme is the next generation, strength, vision, and legacy, and marks a significant milestone being its 50th year, with Borloo, or Perth, being the host city. Being a celebration of past achievements and looking forward to a bright future led by young leaders, community vision, and ancestral legacy, NAIDOC Week embodies a movement for recognition and rights by embracing self-determination as a model for the next generation of First Peoples. With the release of the Truth Be Told report through the Yurok Justice Commission providing the state with documented history of Victoria's violent colonial and genocidal history, the First Peoples Assembly of Victoria and Treaty for Victoria have released a joint statement regarding ongoing treaty negotiations to, quote, form the independent accountability mechanism that is required by the national agreement to close the gap and provide concrete solutions and recommendations to improve outcome for First Peoples, make decisions and rules about specific matters that directly impact First Peoples, such as the confirmation of Aboriginality, run an Aboriginal community infrastructure program, the Victorian Aboriginal Honour Roll and important events like NAIDOC Week, making certain statutory appointments for designated First Peoples seats on government boards and entities, such as First Peoples appointments to the Heritage Council of Victoria, celebrate over 60,000 years of First Peoples culture, including by bringing it into the ceremonial life of Victoria, lead ongoing truth-telling, healing and reconciliation across Victorian towns and regions, including capturing stories and retaining an archive of this information to support education of the broader public about our shared history, make representations and provide advice to the government, including being able to ask questions of ministers and creating a duty for ministers and departments to consult with the Assembly on laws and policies that are specifically directed to First Peoples, and build on First Peoples' knowledge and strengthen leadership to strengthen self-determination in the treaty era. End quote. You're listening to 3CR 855 AM, and these have been the news headlines for Monday, the 7th of July.
3CR would like to thank our sponsors, Earth Greetings, cards that connect, care, and celebrate. Support wildlife and habitat with every purchase. Inspired by nature, giving back to the planet. Learn more at earthgreetings.com.au.
Stay tuned, stay radical.
We demand the full restoration of all Indigenous lands and resources, and we demand the immediate cessation of all forms of exploitation and destruction of our lands.
We're here to remind you of our sovereignty and our original demand from day one.
It started with intentional genocide of our people around the round table in England. It's all lies here. Everything's a lie. It's a great opportunity right now. Step into a sovereign, independent republic.
We demand a treaty. We demand our lands back. We demand to stop black deaths in custody.
Tune in to the Beyond the Bars Prison broadcast during NAIDOC Week 2025. Listen to 3CR each weekday at 11 a.m. from Monday the 7th through to Friday the 11th of July. We'll be taking you inside six Victorian prisons: Dame Philip Frost Centre, Barwon Prison, Fulham Correctional Centre, Middleton Prison, Marguerite Correctional Centre and Port Phillip Prison. We'll be connecting with culture and community. There'll be stories, songs, opinions and poems from the men and women inside. The shows will be live on 3CR 855 on your AM dial, 3CR digital and streaming via our website or on the Community Radio Plus app. Head to the website 3cr.org.au/beyondthebars2025 for more information.
You're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR Community Radio. Now we are going to hear a snippet of a speech from Uncle Professor Gary Foley at Dadi Monroe from the 28th of April this year, where he talks about the inspiration behind the Black Power movement and how it took off in Redfern back in the 70s. Here's Gary Foley.
I'm getting mixed up here as we go. These are some of the inspirations for the Black Power movement. First and foremost was people from our own communities, people who we considered heroes in our historical path. Jackie Patton, Bill Onus, Pearl Gibbs, 1930s, 40s activists, them top three. Don Brady. We knew Don Brady. Gladys Elphick from South Australia. Dooley Binbin, one of the founders of the 1946 Pilbara strike. And Vincent Lingiari, one of the greatest Aboriginal leaders of the 20th century. We also were very impressed by this bloke. When I first met Paul Coe said to me, I told him about what had happened with me and the coppers, and then he told me what had happened with him and the coppers, and he handed me a book, which was this book. He said, read this. When I read this, this was the second part of my politicisation. I became politicised when the coppers gave me that bashing and when I read this book. And this is why we love Malcolm.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
That's why we love Malcolm. We're also into France Fanon. I still recommend people who want to know anything about colonialism, read Florence Fanon to this day. Another person who we're really interested in, James Baldwin, another African-American writer. George Jackson, who got murdered in Soledad Prison. We also were very big on the American Indian movement, and Vine Deloria wrote this book, but I also loved this book. This was the first book that I read that made me realise that Native American people hate anthropologists just as much as we do. Of course, we love what was going on in Vietnam. We love Ho Chi Minh kicking the ass of not only the Yanks but all of his lapdog Australian allies, you know, and that great Aboriginal revolutionary Mao Zedong. Also, you know, a lot of the African leaders, because at the same time, remember, in the 50s and 60s was the big era of decolonization, especially in Africa. And there was we met a lot of the future leaders of some African nations because they were studying at Australian universities. And so we got to meet and find out a hell of a lot about what was going on in Africa and Asia about with decolonization as well. And of course we loved the Black Panther Party. And the imagery of the Black Panther Party was created by this guy who, thanks to my brother Richard Bell from Brisbane, Richard Bell managed to enable me to meet one of my great heroes was Emery Douglas, Minister for Culture of the Black Panther Party. And I actually got to meet him in, 2009 when he came out. He's an internationally famous artist. And it was great meeting him and sharing, being able to tell him how much I admired him back in the day. The other mob we were very big on was the American Indian movement, in particular Russell Means and Dennis Banks. I got to say, for those of you who know, Leonard Peltier was released recently, finally, after 50 fucking years. 50 years, you know. And the leader of the American Indian movement at the time of the siege at Wounded Knee was Russell Means, who just before he died, I mean, back in the day, he was one of my biggest heroes. And just before he died, I actually got to meet the man himself. In fact, I met him at a conference in Adelaide where I gave a talk in which he featured, and he was sitting in the front row. Listen to me, I mean, it's the only time I've ever been nervous talking to an audience. But he was exactly the man I'd always understood him and believed him to be. And this is probably the greatest moment of my life, actually meeting this man who'd been such a hero to me for all those years. And he passed away not long after this, sadly. Black Power also was about restoring Aboriginal people's self-esteem. When a society tells you that you're a worthless piece of shit for 100 years or so, it can affect your mind. And so it's important, you know, we felt it was important in the Black Power movement to restore the dignity and self-respect of our own mob. And like I said, Paul Coe was one of the key men he was the main person in the early stages of the Black Power movement in Redfern. This is why.
Economic sanctions passed against Australia. There should be sporting ties should be severed, cultural ties should be severed. We have got to work towards the ultimate objective, and that we are economically, culturally and socially independent. Land rights is a means to this.
This present society offers nothing for black people. It only offers now police oppression, constant ridicule, kids die from malnutrition, we get constant racist sort of derogative marks in schools, we get institutionalized race in the form of the education syllabus where black people are taught to think of themselves as jacky. There's no positive sort of image of black people in this society. It's run by the controlled or used by the white media. Now we want to change all this.
And change all this we did, folks. The Black Power movement stood for three things, basically. Self-determination, the basic right of all peoples to determine their own destiny. Economic and political independence. Economic independence was seen as the path towards genuine political independence. And land rights was important because we saw land as an economic base from which to build our own economic independence. It was simple as that. Like I said, we created the first free shopfront legal aid centre in Australia, Redfern Aboriginal Medical Centre. We introduced the concept of free legal aid into the Australian context.
You're listening to 3CR Radical Radio on 855 AM. And if you're just tuning in, that was part of a speech from Professor Gary Foley on the inspiration behind the Black Power movement and how it translated into the Black Power movement here in Redfern in the 70s. His speech was held at Dardi Munro in April this year.
What's all this commotion? Lobby's gone, they don't need to remind us. Catch me in the back on Jack with my eyes shut. Know the ghost, so no need to signal or sign us. Cause we'll lay you on the floor like carpet designers. Young dude getting the scraps, what's the catch? Walk through the door, spit in your face like what's the haps? All smooth, nothing clicking with dust, if nothing that. Always piss like when hoes get dressed and nothing match. Fresh like my packaging mint. Extra, lovable type, but not the one to get next to. Name's binge, go hard as soon as I enter. Work everything left to right like I'm ambidextrous. While work hard when there's nothing left to keep. Always on the grind like a mental patient deep. Supposed to lit a fire, don't live in the space for free. Even if you raise the alarm, no evacuating me. The rap world, like,
amongst all this commotion. Everything around me. Ignorant ass MC. Proceed with caution. The rap world like
focus. I wanna be a millionaire, but it's not up to me. Old ice jokes, know what it's cracked up to be. Picture me writing bars, asking for help. They used to bending over, getting fucked for the wolf. Caution on a track, sun can bring shining. Bars expensive like Yellowstone diamond. Stay inside the house, shoot an inside joke. Fell off enough for all of us, yes I won't. They ain't telling me what, cause they know I won't. Was cooked inside crack spots, yes I'm dope. Opposite of Kanye, never making waves. We don't talk features through the day that I'm paid. Remember, just relax, I ain't going away. See this real life driving, stay in your fucking lane.
Yeah. The rap world, you best keep up to my bullshit. What's all this commotion? Everything around me.
Ignorant ass MC.
I'ma see with cool shit. The rap world, you best keep up to my bullshit. What's all this commotion? Everything around me.
It ain't nothing but a paper chase. Went from old school, switching my flow, then coming back. My rhymes rule bars, never mumble rap. Never associated with whack, that's fucking fact. For the two fools, sorry for whoever be under that. Always being used to under the table paper. The flower boy here, I'll swallow the creator. I'm not the same now, people change in a matter of days. Couldn't guarantee me staying the same. Never had nothing to say for any day. So I ain't spending money when I say that I'm making a change. I'm fixed, I'll twist it, never believe the hype. No out of body experience when leaving your life. Keep trying to step when it don't work. Lace my boots up regular, so my left foot goes first. Told me I can make music, but I need hits. When they tried their whole life and ain't never been shit.
The rap world, like, you best keep up to my bullshit. What's all this commotion? Everything around me.
Ignorant ass MC.
I'ma proceed with caution. The rap world, like, you best keep up to my bullshit. What's all this commotion?
You're listening to 3CR at 8:55 AM on the dial. Next up, we have a special guest on the show this morning live on the phone. Jonathan Binge, aka Caution, a Gamilaray, Dangudi, and Gumbangia all-round Wombat, born in Moree and a high price like government fees. Good morning, Jay Binge, aka Caution. Thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, my bro. What's happening?
Not much. We're just here early in the morning, chilling. Me and Rob just chilling. Yeah, man. To start off, do you want to tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what you're about?
Yeah, so like you just introduced, I'm Gamilaray, Dangudi, and Gumbangia. I was born in my country, on, you know, sacred ground, Moree.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, my mother has some problems with the police back home, so it really kind of like pushed us to move. And it just so happened that my auntie was down in Melbourne at the time, so it was a easy pick because we were coming back and forth from Melbourne already. So yeah, my mom thought that it was a, you know, kind of easy transition to make it our way over this way.
Yeah, like a safe bet. How old were you?
I was probably around like 6 when the final move happened.
True.
Yeah. And just, you know, ended up on straight out Harburg way. So, been kicking it. Namways, Harburg specifically. For a pretty long time, mate.
Yeah. Harburg Mall.
Yeah, Harburg Mall, huh? The Mall.
Yeah, the Mall. Malahang.
Yeah, proper, huh?
Yeah.
So I just ended up that way. And, you know, like, a lot of stuff going down. But always just try to keep my head above water, and I know through trial and error, kind of just made it into into music as a form of mental escape and a way to kind of like do therapy without ever like having to do therapy.
Yeah, for sure, man. Who have been like some of your biggest inspirations coming up?
Well, for me, it's a bit of a mix. If you're just talking black colorways, there's so many more that inspire me still to this day. Various people that, like, I grew up knowing the actions that they kind of undertook just in their personal day-to-day. A lot of the war mob, specifically with the Invasion Day rallies. Like, some of my biggest crowds were, like, me going and performing at the Invasion Day rallies. And I wouldn't have those experiences and those opportunities if it wasn't eventually for those people. So, like, it was kind of like a full, well-rounded, full-circle moment when it was like, I'm seeing the almost like unspoken work that goes into putting on something so huge, and then you kind of just like fall into being a part of it. Because we know a mob is like, if you're around, if you're a part of the movement, if you have an experience and you have your voice and you know what to say, you kind of just end up falling into it that way. So the mob are always just like pull another mob in, even just at the last second, you know. So yeah, that's, there's mad mob still from Brisbane all the way down to Nairn, you know, like, that still continue to inspire me top to bottom. And it's not just my mob, you know. Like, today you'd be talking about, like, sister, Roby Wharton, but, you know, like, Uncle Coco, all the way down this way to Uncle Robbie and, like, Murky Arnas. And it's still kind of, like, feeding into the work that, like, Euro Commission Mob was doing in this truth-telling process. Before even, like, leading into what, you know, Nam Mob consider, like, treaty time and all of that. But if we're talking music, like, music's different, you know? Music's, like, universal. And,
fully.
I know my inspiration's kind of weighed from everything to, like, Nas, Tupac, Biggie, down to, like, especially as a young black girl, like Young Warriors and Rest in Peace, Hunk there, Mr. Morgs. Stacks them up, like, and not even just on the rap front, but like seeing as a youth, like, active mob going out and performing, doing their songs and speaking their truth, you know, like Uncle Kucha and so many other mob that just felt so comfortable on a stage and speaking to other mob, kind of leading then into like, what was them older joints still? I did that mad long ago, that, like the Corey Idols and all of that, like, on the 3KND kind of thing, like, leading into all of that, you know, like,
through a bit of history there.
So there's it just depends on what we're talking about when it comes to like inspirations, because
there's the actions
and then there's the music side.
On the action side, how do you feel your music challenges settler colonial societal norms?
Well, that's the thing about like the way that I write specifically, and it's a lot of the stuff that I was talking about, even like early, like you just use mob played, I think one or two things off of the unique joint, or the sign dated, you know,
EP. From the album.
And off of that, those are songs that are like, the earliest song on that EP is my mum's song. And I wrote that a year after she passed away. So I wrote that when I was 14 in 2014.
When did you produce it?
Like literally I had the words and not far off of where U Mob is stationed. There's a booth there. And it's called Artful Dodgers.
I think I know what you're talking about. I think I've walked past it.
Yeah, them Artful Dodgers mob, I think like it's been a long time since I was part of that program, but that's where I met mob, like you know, Paulie Stewart, that's Deadly Follow, Ally Way from like the Painters and Dockers crew, like singing and all of that. And he would be in there like trying to get young people to think about the music in like music theory way, and like hooking up young mob, young people around the area. And I wasn't even from that area. Like I just was out like going to any program I could to like stop me getting arrested. You know,
you weren't from that far away, dude.
Heidelberg, from like especially back then.
Yeah.
Like from Heidelberg coming into the Omo city.
Yeah, it's true.
That was like, especially the way that I grew up, like it was much different back then. Like you just didn't really do them things unless, you know, you was like ready to fuck around. Really, I tell you.
Yeah, I hear you though on the programs, keeping you busy. Like, music's a good vehicle for creative expression, especially for youth at risk.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, that's how I found most of the things, because, like, there was a full-on diversion program that, like, led to my first ever recording session.
Sick.
And that involved, like, Motley and other brother boy there. I'm forgetting lad's name now, but
yeah, it's cool.
It was still early. It was like with Momo and all of these mob, and those writing sessions kind of like had an all around moment where you would go in there, you would write with them, they would pick beats and stuff. And then you go to the studio, and then it would end with like you performing those songs that you wrote there at Malahing Park.
Sick.
On that Malahing Festival. So there was that, and then like after that experience, I kind of just fell in love with being able to kind of express in that way.
Yeah, for sure, man. It's powerful.
Yeah, so it was mad. Like it was solid, you know. Like I gave the name New Hope to a program that still continues this day, and that's at the Jet Studio. So young mob around the Bundoora area, or like close on the north side.
Yeah.
You should go and check out Jet Studio, because they're still continuing this day, and they help young people like hook up with producers, go out and record. They got a whole recording studio over there.
See.
There's two performing booths, like live sound. You can go out and like get your sets ready for any kind of like performances coming up. But, yeah, I was just taking anything, really. It was a mad opportunity back then, but there was that, the Jesuit social services mob, there was the Jets mob in Bundaraway, and then there's like Dig Deep, and I was kind of like traveling across to go to Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dig Deep was in the city too, like proper in the city.
Mission.
Yeah, bro. So it was just like big laps to kind of just do whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, that project is like that first song, written at 14, and the last song that was written and recorded was Anything That I Choose, and I was 18 when I wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like this whole span of time from 14 to 18.
Yeah, they're pivotal years in any human's life, but for you, man, I think from what I've listened to of your music so far, it's like you have a real sense of maturity from those years as well.
Mm.
And I can hear it in your writing.
Yeah, thanks, bro. But specifically now, it's hard to not just look up and be disgusted.
Mm.
You know, I think the way that things transpire individually within our communities, and I say communities because it's all spread and it's all fearing, but things happen and they perform in a way that wouldn't happen unless it was under the arm of, like, the colonial footprint and the societal norms that everybody has to kind of, like, fit within.
Mm.
And it works fine for them. But for anybody that knows or just understands history or has felt it in a way that isn't like what, I won't just say white, but it's privileged people that have never felt the arm of the law from like a young person's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a young kid, I was getting ripped off of the bus from police because they knew my face and my name off of things that happened with my mother. Unless you've had experience that kind of fed into you going in, and like, yeah, there's things that led to me, like, you know, I'm happy I don't have like an adult criminal record today.
Mm.
I do, but a juvenile. But if you've had that experience, or you at least like wanted to understand that this isn't how things should be, and there is better opportunities and different ways of living, then I think it comes out creatively. But if you're really living it, it kind of, it's all encompassing, even in the way that you kind of choose your work. You know, like, what are you going to move into that you feel like you can really change something for somebody? Or at least for me, the work that I'm doing today, it's kind of like my gauge of it when I'm helping out and putting on programs for young people is this something that the younger me would have signed up for and would it have been useful for me to learn something within this?
Yeah, it's a very good question. Yeah, I hear you on your experience with police as well. And to touch on what you said earlier about the Yurok Justice Commission releasing the reports, in the Truth Be Told report, for those listeners out there who do want to get a better understanding of the actual history, or the genocidal history, especially in Victoria, I highly recommend reading the Yurok Justice Truth Be Told report because it outlines a lot of it. Caution, I've only got time for one more question with you. Well, it leads on well from what you've been talking about as well. So, as this week is NAIDOC week, what does this year's theme of the next generation, strength, vision, and legacy mean to you?
Yeah, bro. For me, NAIDOC is, it's always mixed feelings when it comes to NAIDOC. Like, it's hard to celebrate anything in the midst of an ongoing genocide.
Mm.
And if you within yourself feel comfortable to go out and still celebrate in various ways, I feel like it kind of has to vary within your spirit. And I feel like, for me personally, it can just be a time where you want to focus on the youth and understand that without putting power and hope within, like, their young souls, then there won't be an opportunity for them to eventually take up this fight that our mob have been leading and sitting within, or even just, like, dying under, you know? And this is for all Indigenous peoples across the world.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to have strength to take up the fight. And you have to recognize the importance sometimes that for abolition, there still needs to be rest.
Mm.
So, Black joy for us is a thing, definitely. But for me personally, I haven't attended any of the NATO convention, and that's because I'm just trying to prepare within my spirit to go out. Because it's one thing to, like, actually perform, but it's another thing to know that there's broader things going on that are affecting not just the youth. There's young people on the streets continuing this day protesting the ongoing genocide in Palestine. But there's other genocides happening currently around the world.
Yeah, bro. It's crazy.
The colonial structures are still genociding our people now. And that's the whole point of the Euro Commission's truth-telling report, and that important piece of work, and that's just for this state. So, for me, it's two things. It's like, it is hard to celebrate in the midst of everything happening, but it's also important to recognize that mob are still continuing to make strides and do important work to this day. But to even go out and continue that work, you do need the rest period in between. And I'll just say before I let you mob go and do the rest of your thing, soon my work is going to be putting on something really solid.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Black Art. We did this program in 2022. And this year we're planning to do it again. I'm Jonathan Binge within the FYA First Nations state. This is led by all young black fellas. We've had a working group build up the program, pick the place. So we're doing this on sacred Noongar, Budja, all the way over Perth ways. And we'll have spots for 20 to 25 young black fellas from anywhere in the country to apply for this program and come out. We're going to have yarns based around abolition, but we're also going to have panels, deep dive discussions, and all kind of like leading up to a big musical performance with local, solid local talent. People that, you know, should have been heard across the world, but, you know, sometimes it's localized, and there are definitely recognizable people that will be coming out and performing for these young ones. So,
yeah,
I'm excited about it. It's coming up. That program's going to be pushing out some comms soon, so if you see anything on the webs about applying for a cultural camp type experience, then that just might be us. But yeah, look out for that.
Yeah, if you send through the link, we can put it. Well, when we finish the show, we upload it on 3CR under Monday Breakfast, and we put it up as a podcast, so you can access. For those listening, you can access the links that Caution's talking about right now if you would like to get involved. That's all we got time for today. Jonathan, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate your time and energy this time of the morning as well.
I ain't right, look. Let's go back to sleep.
I hope you have good dreams.
Easy, man. All right, solid.
Take care.
3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be.
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
This country's black future is a fire.
The war on Palestine has not stopped. Palestinians need self-determination. Gaza must be free of Israeli occupation forces, have unconditional access to aid and reconstruction. 17 years of Israeli siege must end.
The West Bank needs the violence and attacks by the Israeli army and settlers to stop, and an end to the occupation and apartheid.
Your support to end the war on Gaza to bring peace, justice and freedom to all of Palestine is needed more than ever.
Converge on Canberra, 20th to the 22nd of July. Sanction Israel. Join the united call to sanction the state of Israel in response to the genocide on Palestine.
With Netanyahu and Trump threatening to ethnically cleanse Gaza and annex the West Bank, we all need to stand up and say no.
Converge on Canberra, 20th to the 22nd of July. Sanction Israel.
With your support, Palestine will be free, from the river to the sea.
Free Palestine Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.
You're listening to 3CR on 855 AM. Just then, I interviewed Caution, Jonathan Binge, aka Caution, and his album, we played one of his songs from his album. The song was called Commotion. The album's called Signed and Dated. Have a listen on Spotify. We'll chuck it in the podcast notes on Monday Breakfast link afterwards as well. Up next, we'll be playing a speech from yesterday's Free Palestine rally held outside the State Library by Asil Tayar. Asil is an award-winning Palestinian-Australian theatre and film director and a performing installation artist.
And so we'd like to welcome our sister Asil Tayar. And Asil is an award-winning Palestinian-Australian theatre and film director and performing installation artist who was born under occupation in Al-Quds, Jerusalem. Asil's life encouraged her to make art that represents what Arab Palestinian Muslim women face in this world. Please give it up for our sister Asil.
Assalamu alaikum. Melbourne, I'm so happy to be here today. sad for the reason, but happy to be around people I love and I miss. I haven't been here for a while, and it's gonna be another year before I saw you, and it's my birthday today. So I am here today to celebrate with the people that I call family. I'm here in Melbourne to work on a play and a documentary connecting us First Nation and Palestinian, and the play is called One Last Lullaby. I invited Muhammad out of the whole world to be part, and because he cried, I said, you know, I'm gonna make everybody cry. So that's why I'm here today. I'm gonna share with you some of the stories because they are important and because they were told to me by the people that have, like, I have been collecting these stories since the war started as a storyteller and a theater maker. And I made them into a script that I want the whole world to see. Maybe you are not the right audience because you know it. You are not the ones I want to really awake because you are awake deep inside. But this is for people that, you know, standing with us to kind of just hear the stories as I heard them. And then I will share the song. Yesterday, so imagine this is a spot of a play, so I'm just reading for you like 2 or 3 pages of it, okay? You know what they say? A good dough only needs 3 things: flour, salt, and a woman who have seen so much. I don't know, she's making the bread, so she's like, I don't know what if this will turn good, but I know that this woman have seen way so much. Yesterday was while I was trying to sleep, Warda came to wash the clothes. So easy to hear her story when only fabric is between us. Warda had 5 children, 3 girls, 2 boys, and a man with a supermarket and eyes with a sugar cane. Hot tea, they had breakfast every morning, hot tea, za'atar and jibne. Life tasted normal until it didn't. Her husband carried his mother on his back. They walked through fire and falling sky. And her son, her 10-year-old, he got hit in the back. She thought he died, but he didn't. But something in her did. And when they made it to the hospital, she thought that is it. But it never was it. The war kept following them like smoke in hair. They lived in a tent, on dirt, waited for someone, anyone, to remember they were humans. You know what she used for a wheelchair? A curtain from a bombed window. Tied like a sling, dragged her husband's mother across streets. Imagine that. A curtain tent turned into a home. A woman turned into a nation. And when she finally thought she was safe, her boy, the one she leaned on, went to get water and never came back. They found his body like a punctured prayer. But she didn't stop. She tied grief into her waist like an apron, and she kept walking, kept moving, because who else will carry her children? Warda, she still makes tea every morning. She says it tastes different, but her kids cannot tell. They drink it anyway because it's all they have, because mama makes it still with lots of love. Because even under bombs, our tea remains sweet. You know, I met Em Ihab yesterday. She came from far, next to the water, you know? First 2 months of the war, she stayed calm, like an old man dozing on the porch. People came from everywhere, north, east, neighbors, and she opened her door, made space, made tea, food, made the war feel fun. And then one day, people woke up screaming. She said it felt like land changed its mind overnight. Missiles feel like rain. They ran, no bags, no shoes, no time. Her house is gone, her land flattened. Everything burned except her prayer. Ya Rab, just let my kids live. They hid in a school, but the school became a trap. The tank came, they took the boys, stripped them, tied them. She couldn't even scream. They were locked inside for 2 weeks. No food, no water, no air that didn't smell like fear. She didn't know how to live. She never left her home before. She just started walking. Her legs gave up before she did. Someone found her. God always sends someone, you know? They gave her a blanket, a corner on the street, a cup of water, a tent later. Scrap the fabric turned into home. That's how we do it here, you know? Stitch survival from other people's leftovers. When she finally reached her boys, they were sleeping on pavement, no space, no breath, and now her sons, who used to walk on land like kings, they sell biscuits, just biscuits to survive. She said, when I see them now, I want to rip my heart out. Not because we lost our land, no, but because they lost the hope in their eyes. But she still cooks, she still adds cardamom to her tea, she still says Alhamdulillah every meal, because that's how we survive here. You say thank you with a blood in your mouth. I will have the last one. Every war we rebuild. Every time we rebuild.
You're listening. We both interrupted each other there. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio. That was a segment from yesterday's Free Palestine Rally, a speech by Aseel Taya, who's an award-winning Palestinian Australian theatre and film director and performing installation artist. We'll upload the rest of their speech into the podcast notes, so you can listen to the full speech. We encourage you to do so. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to bring you a segment which we are very excited about. This is Tiny Sparks and Turning Points. It's a recurring segment from our good friends at the Common Social Change Library. Today, they'll bring us some radical events over the years that changed the continent. This feature is looking at the month of July over our collective history and will come to listeners on the first Monday of every month at 8 a.m. It is a good example of why we need to remember our history in order to build a better future. So without further ado, here's the segment.
Tiny Sparks and Turning Points is a monthly selection of protests, strikes and significant dates concerning social change in Australian history. This segment is presented by the Commons Social Change Library, a repository of more than 1,500 resources for campaigners, which can be found at commonslibrary.org. On the 1st of July 2013, hundreds of Bergeroff campaign supporters began picketing and occupying the site of a proposed McDonald's store in Tacoma, Melbourne.
The 2nd of July 1994 saw Western Australia's first forest blockade launch near Pemberton. This led to an immediate two-week moratorium on logging in four areas targeted by environmentalists.
On the 2nd of July 1970, unionists, students, peace activists and others invaded the Sydney Stock Exchange to highlight its role in profiting from the Vietnam War. In the build-up to the action, more than 10,000 anti-war broadsheets were distributed. Sneaking their way onto the trading floor, protesters burnt an American flag, spray-painted slogans on share price boards and scattered paperwork before departing ahead of the arrival of police.
On the 4th of July 2003, the West Australian State Government caved into the demands of environmentalists, beachgoers and others, announcing a proposed marina and resort at Maud's Landing would not go ahead, thereby protecting sections of the Ningaloo Reef from destruction.
On the 5th of July 2002 in Adelaide, the Stamford Plaza Hotel backed down on introducing a threatened 33% pay cut after room attendants undertook industrial action.
On the 5th of July 2011, work on New South Wales' biggest coal seam gas operation in the Pillager State Forest was halted after an activist occupied a 25-metre-high rig.
Tens of thousands rallied around Australia on the 6th of July 2014 in opposition to the federal government's austerity budget.
Preparatory work for sand mining at New South Wales' Middlehead Beach was disrupted on 7th of July 1980 after protesters occupied the site and pulled fence posts out as soon as contractors put them in.
The Women's Peace Army was formed on the 8th of July 1915 to fight against military conscription.
A 24-hour strike on the 9th of July 1980 forced management at the Port Kembla Steelworks to reinstate an unfairly dismissed worker.
On the 9th of July 2003, unionists at the Upper Illawarra Institute of TAFE in Wollongong placed an indefinite ban on the collection and processing of money related to enrolments. This was undertaken as part of an action against statewide education staff cuts and increases in student fees.
In Melbourne, the Unemployed Workers Union occupied a Commonwealth Employment Service office on July 10th, 1984. During the occupation, they demanded that toilets and childcare facilities be provided on site, and they removed notices advertising jobs paying less than minimum award rates.
On July the 11th, 1921, 200 unemployed ex-servicemen rallied outside the Victorian Parliament over the failure of the Repatriation Department to provide 1,500 of their number with promised jobs.
On the 12th of July 1976, around 2.5 million people, close to half of the Australian workforce, went on strike against the Fraser government's attacks on nationalised healthcare.
Also on the 12th of July, but in 1978, a demonstration against nuclear weapons testing in the Pacific was held outside the French consulate in Sydney.
On the 14th of July 1972, 500 Indigenous Australians led a march from Redfern into central Sydney under the banner of Ningala Na, We Are Hungry For Our Land. Numbering 6,000 people, the march was held as part of a national moratorium for black rights. Among the crowd were 2,000 students who had initially rallied at Sydney University, as well as builders' labourers, ship painters, dock workers, teachers, and other workers who undertook a half-day strike in support of Indigenous rights. Events were also held in Darwin, Adelaide, Melbourne, Canberra, Brisbane, and regional centres.
On the 14th of July 2004, the Kupa Piti Konga Juta Senior Aboriginal Women's Council won a six-year battle to prevent the federal government from dumping nuclear waste on their lands in South Australia.
Two stowaways and a protest flotilla delayed a uranium shipment from leaving Darwin on 16th of July 1984.
On the 19th of July 1952, 200 soldiers and 5 armoured cars were sent into the Bonegilla migrant camp in Victoria to quell protests over unemployment and poor living conditions.
During July 1981, actions were held across Sydney to highlight the thousands of properties being left empty while people went homeless. On the 19th of the month, members of the Squatters Support Group occupied a disused hotel in Cumberland Street, The Rocks. 9 were arrested after barricading themselves into the top floor, while another escaped. 100 people rallied outside, and further protests were held in Newtown and Edgecliff.
On the 20th of July 2010, over 5,000 building workers and supporters rallied in support of unionist Ark Tribe as he faced a South Australian court over his refusal to answer questions from the Australian Building and Construction Commission about union activities.
The Nightcap Action Group began blockading old-growth logging at Greer's Scrub in northern New South Wales on July 21st, 1982.
On July the 22nd, 1936, the new theatre defied state censorship of the play Till the Day I Die by holding a performance at the Savoy Theatre. At the request of the German Consul General, the play had been banned due to its anti-Nazi themes. The performance had not been officially announced, but the police, who had brought along a shorthand writer to take a transcript of the actor's words, were in attendance, and the new theatre's secretary later received a fine. After this, the play, which depicted the repression, torture and murder of leftists in Germany, was performed privately in the new theatre's club rooms and other venues. A postcard campaign was also launched to lobby the government. Despite the ban remaining, the controversy backfired on those supporting appeasement, and over 150 performances were carried out in the coming years, reaching up to 18,000 people.
Members of the Women's Action Committee and supporters gathered at Melbourne City Square on the 22nd of July 1970. After handing out leaflets drawing attention to an upcoming equal pay case, they boarded trams around the city. To highlight the injustice of women paying full price for goods and services, while receiving less wages than men for equal work, they refused to pay more than 75% of the cost of their fares.
On the 23rd of July 1980, psychiatric nurses at the Swanbourne Hospital in Perth ended a week-long strike over the sacking of a unionist for conducting a safety survey.
On the 23rd of July 2000, more than 15,000 people crossed the Tasman Bridge in Hobart as part of a walk for reconciliation.
Students across Australia staged high school walkouts on the 24th of July 1998 to deplore and oppose the racist policies of One Nation.
During actions and hunger strikes at numerous detention centres, refugees detained at Christmas Island protested on July 24th, 2011 by digging themselves shallow graves.
On the 25th of July 1970, protesters gathered inside Sydney's then biggest mall, Roselands, in Kingsgrove, to call on shoppers to boycott Vestey's products. This was one of a number of demonstrations held in solidarity with the Gurindji land rights struggle and strike at Wave Hill. Vestey's, a multinational meatpacking company, controlled Gurindji land at this time and had a history of refusing to pay wages to Aboriginal workers. After being roughed up and evicted by police and security, protesters regrouped outside the mall to hear a speech from the Aboriginal organiser of the North Australian Workers' Union, Dexter Daniels. Demonstrators then entered a supermarket to fill shopping trolleys with Vestey's products, which were dumped at the registers.
On the 25th of July 1982, 60,000 Queensland state government employees struck for 48 hours as part of a campaign for a 38-hour working week.
A major strike on July the 26th, 1989, against Victorian state government plans to cut workers' compensation, saw public transport halted and electricity supplies reduced.
On the 28th of July 1933, thousands of unemployed people rallied in Bourke Street, Melbourne, to call for an end to work for the dole schemes.
Members of the women's group Save Our Sons held an anti-war protest at Doncaster Shopping Town in Melbourne on the 30th of July 1970.
Responding to two evictions of the Aboriginal Tent Embassy in Canberra, more than 2,000 people marched from the Australian National University to Parliament House on July 30th, 1972. This followed a strategy meeting and rally that morning during which protesters had agreed to temporarily restore the embassy, to resist any attempt to pull it down, and to actively work to rescue anyone arrested. Braving police threats, a tent was re-erected on Parliament lawns, and hours of speeches ensued before the embassy was once again removed and activists returned home to their communities to continue the push for land rights. The Aboriginal Tent Embassy will be re-established in various places across the Australian Capital Territory in the coming months and years before returning to its original site in 1992, where it remains today.
You've been listening to Tiny Sparks and Turning Points. The segment will return next month. In the meantime, to find out more about the history of social change in Australia, you can visit commonslibrary.org.
That was the second iteration of Tiny Sparks and Turning Points provided by our comrades at the Commons Social Change Library. They'll, of course, be back next month to provide another look back into history, into events that changed the continent.
Yeah.
Thank you again to them for doing that.
Yeah, the power and the history.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I like how it's recorded and remembered and spoken about on a regular basis too.
Yeah, I mean, it's important, especially like for someone who, you know, hosts a current affairs show. It's like every week you're looking ahead to something else and you never take a second to look back and at the events that really had an impact, you know.
Yeah.
I tracked down an article about one of the events that they mentioned when a group of activists stormed the Sydney Stock Exchange in, I think it was the 2nd of July, 1970.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I found the article in the Canberra Times, I think. I think that's what I'm looking at on Trove. Yeah, and it said that, yeah, these around 20 activists sprayed paint and burned flags in the stock exchange. around lunchtime. And yeah, that it was happening for around 10 minutes before authorities came to remove the protesters. You know, they kept trading before and after, I think. But before they could do that, they sprayed messages in red and white paint over the mining and oil sections of the board, you know, because, I mean, the parallels between then and now, it's the same thing, right? Mm. Like, as we mentioned in these headlines this morning, like, so many of these companies are complicit in the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin.
Yeah, and some of the messages they displayed were get out of Vietnam now, smash capitalism, and murder is big business. Mm. Yeah, I was happy to come across those slogans, and yeah, I was really thinking about the parallels with right now, especially the headline that I read about how many companies are complicit in genocide in Palestine.
How long ago was that?
That was 1970.
So let's hope that in like 56 years, we're not talking about the same narrative.
That's it. The clock starts now.
Yeah, the clock starts now. Yeah.
Yeah, you're listening to the Monday Breakfast Show on 3CR Community Radio. We'll just play a quick announcement. Stay tuned.
The war on Palestine has not stopped. Palestinians need self-determination. Gaza must be free of Israeli occupation forces, have unconditional access to aid and reconstruction. 17 years of Israeli siege must end.
The West Bank needs the violence and attacks by the Israeli army and settlers to stop, and an end to the occupation and apartheid.
Your support to end the war on Gaza to bring peace, justice and freedom to all of Palestine is needed more than ever.
Converge on Canberra, 20th to the 22nd of July. Sanction Israel. Join the united call to sanction the state of Israel in response to the genocide on Palestine.
With Netanyahu and Trump threatening to ethnically cleanse Gaza and annex the West Bank, we all need to stand up and say no.
Converge on Canberra, 20th to the 22nd of July. Sanction Israel.
With your support, Palestine will be free, from the river to the sea.
Free Palestine Melbourne is a 3CR supporter.
...3CR, your station, your voice.
Do a bit of disrupting and cause a bit of ruckus in the colony.
Always was, always will be!
Not celebrate Australia, but instead pay homage to the resistance of First Nations people against this illegal colonial occupation.
3CR, your station, your voice.
This country's black future is a fire. With the right season, that burning school fire.
You're listening to 3CR Community Radio. We'll now be speaking with James Henderson, who is from Waddle. They are a youth environmental group based in Nam, focusing on environmental conservation and community-led restoration. They are part of a fundraising effort, which is taking place on the 6th of September, involved with Urban Gorillas, to raise $50,000 between Urban Gorillas, Waddle, Pay the Rent, and Para. I'm here on the line with James to tell us more about the organizations themselves and also the event. Good morning, James.
Morning, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for waking up early to join us.
No worries.
Maybe you just want to start by telling us about Waddle and Urban Gorillas and how y'all sort of got together to create this fundraiser.
I'm from Wattle, so we're a youth-led environmental charity. So we primarily work along the Yarra River. We mainly focus on sort of that urban restoration. We're currently sort of building a nature corridor just to encourage native wildlife to come back to the Birrarung, so the Yarra River. We'll be doing this this sort of gig night with Urban Gorillas, who also work in the same space of youth-led environment. They work out in Gardiners Creek, pretty close to Deakin University. So, yeah, we both have very similar missions of sort of trying to encourage the next generation to sort of engage with land care and sort of that native habitat restoration that we've sort of lost through colonization.
Yeah, wow, it's super, super important work to be doing. Yeah, maybe you want to speak a little bit more about the work you've been doing on Birrarung.
Yep. Yeah, so our main site, as I said before, is situated just along the Birrarung, so in Richmond along the Yarra Trail. We've been working on that site for about the last year and a half in collaboration with Melbourne Girls College and ACF in Melbourne. So basically we've been sort of planting, clearing out a lot of degraded banks. The site 100 years ago used to just be landfill, so there's no native seed bank. So what we've been trying to do is sort of just regenerate some of that soil through native planting and land care. We've been planting a lot of silver wattle, blackwood wattle, prickly Moses, some other acacia types, as well as manna gum, and we're also trying to cultivate murnong, which is a traditional indigenous food source, which is very culturally important to the area.
Wow, yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, that's really special. And also it sounds like really muddy work.
Yeah, it's very, very hands-on, but super rewarding as well.
Yeah, so how many, how do the people involved find being a part of the project?
Yeah, really good. Because we're targeted towards youth, we're pretty flexible with commitment types. So we have some people that will come to every working bee, every planting we do, and then some people who sort of, you know, come and go as they please. We're welcoming to everyone. You don't need really any land care experience to get involved, as long as you've got a positive attitude and willing to put in some hard work, weeding and planting, and we'll have you. We do tours for new people all the time, sort of bit of history of the site, walkthroughs on what we're doing and why we're doing it. I think a lot of people really like to know, I guess, the reasoning behind why we're doing restoration in this area, sort of trying to encourage that native wildlife to come back, native bees, just that population that can sort of help sustain the plants that we're actually planting.
Yeah, wow. That's really good that you're getting good feedback and people are enjoying it. What is your... Do you find that there's... I'm curious just because, like, I also work in landscaping myself and I'm just wondering if, like, you find that there's a barrier between, like, when you're telling people, we're going to go to the Birrarung and we're going to plant these trees... what that pitch is like, especially for people who just don't necessarily understand how hands-on it can be.
I think we again try and make it as like beginner friendly as possible, so we sort of work within the constraints of what people are able and willing to do. If it's your first time planting, we're not gonna make you get out the auger and do a bunch of holes. I guess we try and reach people where they are. I think that's really important, especially with young people. Like, we have so many amazing groups doing land care work, doing work on country, but I think it's just that messaging and reaching people where they are. So we do go to a lot of universities. We've done some stalls at RMIT, and we've engaged with a lot of other university clubs just to sort of, reach people in places they're they're already established, they're already comfortable, and then sort of introduce that ethos of land care. And just try and get them involved that way.
Yeah, I think that's a really good approach to make it as accessible as possible, right? Like, it doesn't have to be just some inaccessible thing to, turn your, especially for a lot of people in the space, like myself in particular, like, who are very passionate about restoring the ecosystems that have been, you know, killed by 250-odd years of invasion, right? It's super important to make that as accessible as possible for anybody who believes in that, no matter who they are or where they come from, right? So tell us, maybe let's move to talk about the fundraiser. How did Wattle and Urban Gorillas come together for this event?
Yeah, so I guess we'd had a lot of crossover, obviously both being in the youth environment space. And I guess the idea sort of came about just as a way to sort of, again, engage with people that may not necessarily be in the environment space. We sort of chose the organisations that we did as well, Para and Pay the Rent, just because I guess there is such a deep link between sort of justice for country, justice for Palestine, and also land care. So all of them are sort of very related to colonialism, invasion, and they sort of like push back against displacement. So that's sort of how we came together on the idea for the Good Night. Just sort of evolved from there. Now we're well and truly moving on, and it should be a good night on the 6th of September.
Yeah, absolutely. James, unfortunately we're running out of time for the show, so I'm gonna have to let you go, but thank you so much for coming on to join onto the show, and we'll be sure to put the details for the fundraiser in our little podcast notes, so listeners can put it in their diaries. Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Solidarity Breakfast presents the Radiothon Fundraiser, Raffle and Live Gig Extravaganza, featuring live musical acts, raffle prizes, $10 entry at the door, includes one raffle ticket. Saturday the 12th of July, 3 p.m. Greek Democritus Workers League, 583 High Street, Northcote. Be there or be square.
You're listening to 3CR at 8:55 a.m. That's all we've got time for this morning. Thanks for listening in and tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful Monday. We'll still do a little rundown of what we went through, what happened today on the show. So first up, we had a segment from Gary Foley talking about Black Power movement and how it inspired the Redfern Black Power movement of the 70s. After that, I interviewed Jonathan Binge, a.k.a. Caution, who's a Gamilaré, Dungari and Gumbangia all-round Wombat, born in Moree and high-priced like government fees. We'll put his album in the podcast link after the show. After that, we heard a speech from Asil Taya at yesterday's Free Palestine rally. And Asil is a powerful Palestinian and Australian theatre and film director and performing installation artist. After that, we heard Tiny Sparks and Turning Points, a segment which came from a bulletin from the Common Social Change Library, which talked about radical events over the years that have shaped and changed this country. And just then we heard Rob interview James Henderson about urban guerrilla fundraisers through Wattle, which is a youth-focused environmental group with the aim of restoring Indigenous biodiversity. Yeah, nice. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see y'all next week. Take care, peace, and love.
3CR Breakfast would like to thank the New International Bookshop, Melbourne's radical bookstore and venue, for their financial support of this program. You can find Nibs opposite reception in the Lygon Street wing of Trades Hall, Carlton. Keep up to date with upcoming events at nibs.org.au.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.